Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 133, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Within thy temple, Lord, we think on mercies past. Let earth all praise accord, long as thy name shall last. The righteous judgments of her king, and let Zion and her daughters sing. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 133. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, in the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 22 to verse 42. John 10, verses 22 to the end. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 10, beginning with verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, Ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, once again we try to draw nigh to thee, and all things within life and heart are open and naked before him with whom that we have to do. And thou seest and knowest that when we are to be judged, standing for our own account, that there is no way that we can be received of thee. Then from thy side, in thy justice, in thy righteousness, then thou must cut us off and cast us away. But Lord, a living dog is better than a dead lion. Thy servant did say, and we may yet with our children be in a day of grace and in a time of salvation, and we still may come round about thy truth that thou dost proclaim in the midst of this fallen world. Then it is still possible, because that door that is still yet open, for the chiefest of the sinners, when he would draw nigh unto thee, even as him that was hanging with thee, didst confess his own unworthiness, his own guilt and worthiness to be cast from thee. And Lord, thou didst yet receive him. And then only because of thy own work. And that is now our only hope and expectation. And we have so much that has to be taken away. Lord, wilt thou strip it from us? And wilt thou grant us to see more and more? That from our own side we stand without. And that there is no way, that the impossibility may be bound upon our hearts, that we may despair, not of thee, but a holy despair of our own selves and our own work, our own wisdom, our own strength, and our own righteousness. Thou knowest it is a way, and which is so contrary to our flesh. But could it please thee to work through, and wilt thou overcome us, become too strong for us, and wilt thou bring us in that place of that naming of old, where he may go to that Jordan, and dip himself seven times. Oh, then he had no desire for the pride of his heart. But Lord, then it was so simple. And to now go in such a holy and simple obedience, and to dip himself into that muddy river. Oh, there he did come so clean. And so it may be experienced by that people who are so leprous in themselves.
Lord, could it please thee to show it unto each and every one of us, then it is necessary that we may first come to that knowledge of our leprosy and sin, and that we may have to cover our lip and cry, unclean, unclean, that it may be that there are such ones that go over this world, also in the midst of us, or they are and may be unknown unto us, but then they are known to thee, because thy work that is a secret work, but it is also most powerful. That thou may look upon young and old together. Grant it unto our children and our youth, who are the future of the church in a natural way. That they may also be that future church in a spiritual way, and that thou may make them so, and our young people also. That thou may keep them from all the instigation of that prince of darkness, who does seek their soul, who does seek their body, who does seek them all together, that he may drown them in that everlasting perdition. That thou may then watch over our children. They are baptized, and we have made a promise as parents. Give us faithfulness, but also wisdom and ability and diligence, that we may do the labors that we have promised to do, but they are so impossible from our side. Wilt thou give us strength, give us grace, give us love, and wilt thou instruct and teach and keep our children despite all our shortcomings. Remember those who do study in these weeks, when in this coming week, then they hope to come before the consistory to be examined, and that they also may be confessing members of this our flock. Lord, that thou may help them, and may thou give to them what is necessary for the mind, that they are able to study and able to bring forth all that they have learned. But Lord, then we cannot give that which is most necessary. That thou may make them sons and daughters of thee, and that thou may so bless thy word and truth unto them in the midst of the congregation also. Look then upon young and old, the children at school, and all that do instruct them from day to day. And wilt thou supply for all thy truly sent servants. Lord, increase their number. And when we will meet the Lord willing, as a curatorium as soon, that thou may yet remember us. If it yet could please thee, that thou may provide, that there may be some that may be admitted. And Lord, could it please thee to remember us as congregations, as a denomination, that thou may keep thy truth in the midst of us, that it has to be experienced, that it has to be known, that it has to be lived out. Because when it is only in our mind, O Lord, then we shall lose it one day. But if thou wilt give us to know it in our heart and soul, then it can be preserved. We beseech thee then to work among us, that thou may remember all the cries of thy people, that thou would hear from heaven thy dwelling place. And wilt thou supply for all those who are called to bring thy word over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Oh, that thou may give strength, give courage, give wisdom and faithfulness and much insight also into all of thy truth. Those that rule and reign over us, oh Lord, that thou may grant us a cry also for them and preserve us as a people. And when thou dost not let us completely go, then we may acknowledge thee. But there are still so many things and in which we must be brought back. Lord, look on us then as nations in the midst of this world and turn us again, if it could please thee. And wilt thou look upon us in the coming of the end of this world? Lord, then we must see, when we would but half open our eyes, and that the time is short for us and for our dear children, and that thy footsteps can be heard, and that the time that thou wilt come again upon the clouds of heaven, when that trumpet shall sound, and that is so quickly approaching. Remember the beloved for the Father's sake. Oh, that thou may convert them also unto thee, that they may be given to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, and that thou may look on us also, that in our heart we may know that truth, as we hope to try to explain also in this afternoon hour. They are high truths. Oh, they are truths that we cannot enter into the depth of. They are mysterious truths. And they are those truths that do carry those blessings and those benefits that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, but which are the portion of them that love thee. Oh, that thou may give it also then in the heart of thy dear children in this afternoon, and that their eye may behold thee for a moment, and that they may be separated for a moment from all that is of time and of sense, and that they may by a true and by a living faith in the midst of all their own wretchedness that continues, that law in their members, wherefore they must continually cry. Oh, that they may be given to see that foundation, that rock that is higher than they, and that they may be given a place therein, that it may be to them a covert from the storm and from the tempest, a little encouragement upon the way. And may it be for the increase of thy true church among us also. Do forgive and take away all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 280, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. He with tender mercies crowns thee, satisfies thy full request, so that like a tireless eagle, thou with youth renewed art blessed. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 280. Congregation, our Heidelberg Catechism, that is called a Book of Comfort. And for whom is the Catechism a book of comfort? That is, not for the hypocrite. It is not for the man of this world. But it is for that true church. May you now ever experience it to be so for your own heart and soul. A book of comfort that is according to the word of God. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. But comfort, children, for whom is comfort? Comfort that is for those that are distressed, that is for those that mourn, that is for those who are in great need. And indeed, they are the ones that may experience it to be such a book of comfort. Satan desires to rob that distressed people of their comfort. That is, the comfort of that true church that is consistent with what the Lord has said. That he has said that Satan would bruise the heel of Christ. And how is it that Satan is attempting to rob that entire church of their comfort? Often it is by way of heresy. That is, to teach, to bring into the church error. That comfort that is for that people would no longer be declared in the midst of God's church. And thus he may not only have his power in the midst of this world, but he also may be effectual within that church itself. And thus to refute error, that is to defend the poor and needy. Why? Because it is the poor and needy, which is that true church of God. What did the Lord Jesus say? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And now our next question of our Heidelberg Catechism that deals with a matter of which there has been very much contention. That was in the days of the Lord Jesus, but it continues the same even to this very day. And what is that that has to do with the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ? We wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider this afternoon out of Lord's Day 13, only in the 33rd question. Lord's Day 13, in question 33. Why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God? Since we are also the children of God. Answer: because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God. But we are children adopted of God by grace for his sake. So far, our Lord's Day. Christ as the Son of God. First, the divinity of Christ. And second, the distinction in the sonship of Christ and of his church. Christ as the Son of God. First, his divinity, and second, the distinction in the sonship of Christ and of his church. And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Thus we have heard that the Lord Jesus, he has a personal name that is Jesus. That he has also an official name that is Christ. But now we hear also of another name. He has many names. But our fathers, they deal only with several of those names. And that name is the Son of God. What a name. The Son of God. There was a man that was able to call himself the Son of Solomon. That was something, children. If we may be able to call ourselves the Son of Solomon, to be the son of such a king in the midst of this world, but also of such a God-fearing man. There were those that perhaps they could call themselves the son of Pharaoh or the son of Caesar. But today, then we speak of a man who was called the Son of God. Mark says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That is the most remarkable thing. For a man in the midst of this world to be called the Son of God. Why? Because that means that he is God himself. That means that he is a divine being. Thus God as a man. Thus God in the flesh. Thus God in human form. Thus a man to be revered. A man who is God to be worshipped. An unfathomable mystery. Certainly, if man had never been created in the image of God, such a thing had never been possible. From what a great height you and I have fallen. Because the Lord Jesus was not able to take upon him the form of a beast, the form of some other creature in this world. Thus, what is it that the heathen do not recognize when they will set themselves up a beast and call it God? Then they do not recognize the height in which man was created, that he was created actually in the image of God, and that it was possible only that the Son of God would take upon himself that form, that is, of man who was created in that image. Also Darwin, he does not see that distinction between the man and the beast. Thus,
that he says, man, he is only a further development of the beast. But there is an essential difference. And therefore, we have a man in the midst of this world who is able to call himself the Son of God. It is understandable that from the day of the Lord Jesus Christ until today, that there has been a great denial of the deity, of the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God. There was nothing in a physical way by which the Lord Jesus was distinguished from you and from me. Then it was not as if and that his body, that his face did shine even as Moses when he came down from that mount, and that all could see that he was in the immediate presence of God. And then his countenance did not shine even as sometimes we read of the angelic hosts when they came into this world, and that men, they could not stand before them. No, there was no difference. Even more, because he has taken upon himself the form of a servant. Thus, in his outward circumstances, that is, as the lowest of men that are in this world. Thus it is understandable, then especially in the days of the Lord Jesus, and when he has appeared among that people, and when he has come children in the synagogue, even as others and as we may be in the church this day, and when the Lord Jesus may come among them, that in an outward way, then it is understandable that that people, they have looked, and they have looked and they have said, what now is there in this man wherein we can see deity, divinity? And therefore, the Pharisees, they did say, whom makest thou thyself? And when they have brought him in the judgment, as we have read, then they have said that we have a law, and by our law, he has to die. Why? Because he made himself the Son of God. Later in the early church, there was a heresy of the Arians. And the Arians denied the deity of the Son. Well, of course, they did speak about the Holy Scriptures. But they said that the Son, that the Lord Jesus, yes, indeed, he is sometimes called the Son of God. But that does not mean that he was divine. That does not mean that he was God himself. But the Arians said that he was the very first creature that God created before you and I. So that as the very first creature he has received, as it were, a higher place. And because he was the very first one, therefore he is sometimes called the Son of God. Thus, they have denied the divinity of Christ. The Socinians, they said that, yes, he is called the Son of God, but that is because that he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. That is the reason, that is the basis, the foundation of his being called the Son of God. But it is a denial. It is a denial of the divinity of the Godhead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we hope to see that the Lord Jesus, He has Himself called Himself the only begotten Son of God. Thus our fathers say He is the eternal and He is the natural Son of God. That means that He has the same essence as the Father. Thus, that He is truly a divine being, and that is to the comfort and to the hope of the Church of God. There are many versions of the Bible, so-called, and that that also are based upon the Alexandrian manuscripts, that is, manuscripts which have been copied over and over again in that place wherein this heresy was rampant. And thus the manuscripts themselves from which that we are receiving those versions of the Bible, and they are in themselves already corrupt. And then you can read in those versions that there is a denial also of the deity, the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those are now accepted by so many people also in our day. Why? Because there is still remaining today as it was then, that same error, and that is the denial of the Godhead of Christ. Jehovah Witnesses, for example, they say, yes, He is a good man. He is one who has taught the people. We must follow His example. But congregation, when we take away the deity of Christ, and we destroy the comfort of God's true people. Why was it that the Lord Jesus has done so many miracles when He was in this world? That was a testimony of His divinity. While He was in the flesh, and while it was so difficult for that people to see who He was, that was that stumbling block of the servanthood and the humility that He had taken upon Himself, that stumbling block would be taken away, and that through the veil of His humanity, and that His divinity may shine forth. And now that had two consequences. In the first place, all those miracles that the Lord Jesus did, and they are leaving man without excuse. That is what we read together. They have taken up stones that they may stone the Lord Jesus. Why? Well, they said, for blasphemy, because Thou makest Thyself the Son of God. And what did the Lord Jesus say here? He says, if I do not do works of My Father, believe Me not. But if I do, though ye believe not Me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in Me and I in Him. Therefore those works. And they were works, and that the people may believe that He is the Son of God. But they have only increased the judgment of their people, those that would not believe. Therefore, the Lord Jesus has upbraided the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in thee had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they had repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Thus the works, the mighty works, the divine works, the works of the Son of God, they are a testimony against so many to their eternal condemnation. But then they also had another effect.
Then they had a blessed effect. And what kind of effect is that? Well, we see a man, he is nervously leaving his own home. And he is hastening as fast as his feet are able to carry him. Oh, he doesn't look to the right hand or to the left. He does not stop to greet anyone upon the way. But he hastens onward and onward. Why? Is there something wrong? Has something happened? Is there something in the matter? Or when we will go back to that place that he has left, then we will see there lying upon her bed a little girl. It is his only daughter, and she is sick. And she is very sick. She is at the point of death. How he loved her, how he has taken care of her, how he has nursed her, how he has sought for the medicines, how he has sought for the physicians. But instead of getting better, that has continually become worse and worse. And the fever that is increased, and her weakness that is increased. There they did stand, father and mother, helpless beside this bed. No, the doctors cannot help anymore, and the medicines cannot help anymore. And there they stand. Then they feel their lack. Then they feel their weakness. And so we see that father, and he rips himself from the bedside of his little daughter. Oh, and then he goes. Then he goes. He hurries. He hastens. There is only one that can help him now. And that is God. There is only one that can help him now. That is the Son of God. And so he goes to seek out no more the help of man, no more of his own strength, but he goes to seek out divinity. He goes to seek out the power of that Most High God. And so we see it over and over in the Word of God, in the most extreme distresses of life. Oh, we see it in the lepers. We see it in the blind. We see it in the deaf. We see it in the dumb. We see it in the lame. We see it in the dead. Who are they? They are those that have no power. They are those who are not able to help themselves. Oh, they are those whose strength does fail. They are those who have tried. They are those who have come to their wit's end. An issue of blood, who have spent all their living on other physicians and is nothing better, but rather grew worse, helpless, helpless. Centurion, whose servant is sick, mighty man, set in authority, says to one, go, and he goeth, says to another, come, and he cometh. But now he has no power, because he has no power over death, and there is no discharge in that war. And now it is these who may hear of what? They may hear of the Son of God. Oh, how sweetly does that name sound in their ears. Divinity. God himself, when man has come to the end of his own strength. Also, they may hear it declared by men, Rabbi, Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So they may hear it declared by Christ himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Son of God, also it may be heard by the people, even forced out of the devils themselves. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Also the people, they may hear it declared out of heaven itself, this is my only begotten Son. Hear him, all that is as a salutation in the ears of the people. The Son of God, divinity itself, God himself, to give what? To give hope. To give expectation, to save from despondency, to save from despair, or to draw them, to entice them, to draw them to seek him out. And so we see them going, and so we see them coming. Oh, they are crying from afar, and when they may not approach with covered lips, oh, some of them, they are just hobbling along. Oh, they are bowing to touch the hem of his garment. Some of them, they cannot even walk, but they are carried by others. But we see them going. But we see them coming. Why? Because he is the Son of God. He is divinity itself. And in him, and in him alone, is the hope and the expectation of that people. O congregation, are there those that may now find themselves among those lepers? That may now find yourself among those deaf and those dumb and those blind and those lame? John, he says, whosoever denieth the Son, same hath not the Father. Many denied the Son in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Jews as a nation, they have denied the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many have denied the Son since the day of the Lord Jesus Christ in the early church. And even unto this day, what kind of people were they? They were not the lame, or the blind, or the deaf, or the dumb. No, they were the strong ones. They were the self-sufficient ones. They were the self-wise ones. They were those that were never broken. They were those that were never stripped. They are those that deny the Son. Why? No need for him. They have their own strength. They are able to uphold themselves. John says, we have seen and do testify that the Father hath sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. And he and God, what kind of a confession do you think that is, young people? You say, read it in the Word of God. And then they will say that to you. When you will go from place to place, now just read, simply read that Word of God. And take it as it stands there in the Word of God. That all sounds so right. And then they say, see, now you must just confess. You must confess that Jesus is the Son of God And when you will confess that Jesus is the Son of God, then God dwells in you, and you dwell in God. Oh, that is no mere lip confession. No, read the rest of the Word of God. Then the Lord Jesus also says more. He says, there are many that will so confess me. There are many, and that even will do works in my name. It will cast out devils in my name. Thus, if that was true, that was a mere lip confession, then the Bible would contradict itself. No, what kind of confession is that? The confession of the Son of God. That is the confession of the heart. That is the confession of the lips when it is coming out of the heart. That is that which is coming forth on the outside, which is beginning on the inside. That is that which is seen in the practice of the life. All of that is a confession. That confession of that Son of God was the confession of those lame ones. That was the confession of those blind ones. Oh, that is a confession that still remains today of those spiritually lame. The spiritually lame. Do you hear that, young people? You say, we cannot do anything. That is a religion of despair. Wait a moment. Wait a moment. Yes, our helplessness. Yes, our utter spiritual inability. But a religion of despair? No. No. Why not? Because we preach unto you the Son of God. The Son of God. Thus we would have you to see strength in Him. We would have you to see divinity in Him, deity in Him, that He is the Son of God. And thus there is a confession made by the spiritually blind and the spiritually dumb, the spiritually lame. Then there is a hope in their heart that may go out unto the Son of God, those who are too weak to overcome their own sin. Are you too weak to overcome your own sin? Those who are not able to satisfy for their own guilt. Those who have to stand in the judgment and have to be condemned. Those who are not able to make it right with God anymore. There is a people. There is a people that may make a confession. When? When the heart may be drawn. And when that heart may draw nigh, in the secret chamber, in the house of the Lord, in private, in public, when that heart, when faith may go out in dependence unto the Son of God. And when that faith may see so much in Him, when it may see everything in Him, and when it may become to that helpless people, altogether lovely, or it is a confession. It is a confession of whom? It is a confession of those that were bitten. Those that were bitten. Who may look upon that brazen serpent and receive by a true faith the power of God Himself. the Son of God, all shall those whom a soul draw nigh by that power of that Holy Spirit of the Lord, drawing them, shall these be disappointed in the Son of God? Shall they be disappointed in His strength? Shall they be disappointed in His will? Shall they be turned away from Him? Shall they be rejected in their great need? Find an instance for me. Find an instance in that holy word of God, if you can, of one that was in such need, that was turned away by the Son of God. Indeed, the rich young ruler, he was sent away. He was sent away. Go sell all that thou hast. The Pharisees, they were also sent away. The Lord Jesus said to them, go. Go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. But we ask you, the needy soul, do not read that in the Word of God. No, even the disciples had to be rebuked for their wrong thoughts of the Son of God. They have tried to turn away. They thought the Son of God, oh, He has no time for those little children. Oh, do you hear that, children? The disciples, they thought the Son of God, He has no time for you. And do you know what the Lord Jesus said? The Son of God, He said, suffer those little children to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of God. Oh, Bartimaeus, he was charged to hold his peace. And when Bartimaeus, he is told by that multitude that he should stop crying. Oh, then we read, the Son of God, stand still. And he commends him to be called. Oh, in his distress, the father, the poor father of that lunatic child, and all those disciples, they have no power. Do you have no power? Fathers, mothers, do you have now no power to convert your children? There they stood helpless. And now the Son of God, do you know what he said? Bring him to me. Bring him to me. Oh, is there not now a place that we may go, parents, with our children? Are there those, congregation, who need the Son of God? Those who are stripped of your own power, of your own strength, of your own wisdom, of your own ability, that are dead in trespasses and in sin, that need to be saved, and who cannot be saved, and who cannot reconcile yourself unto that God whom you have come to love, whose need only increases, and whose ability only decreases. And the separation that is made greater and greater between God and your soul. Or are there those that need that Son of God? John, he says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But he said, these are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And those that may receive that life in his name, they also will become the sons of God. But then in a different way. But let us sing first. 235. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need. My Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford. I cry to thee. 1, 2, and 3 of 235. Why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God, since we are also the children of God? Answer, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God, but we are children adopted of God by grace and for His sake. Thus our fathers, according to the Scriptures, do make a distinction, the sonship of Christ and the sonship of His people, who are also called the sons of God. Christ, He is the eternal Son of God. That means He did not become the Son of God when He became a man, when He took on Him the human nature, when He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, but He was eternally God. He is also the natural Son of God. The Scriptures, they speak about the angels as the sons of God. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, that was when the earth was created. Adam, he is also called the Son of God, which was the son of Adam, we read, which was the Son of God. Sometimes all men, all people in this world are called the sons of God. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Sometimes also the magistrates, because of their position, and they are called the sons of God, and all of you, we read, are children of the Most High. But only the Lord Jesus, He is called the only begotten Son of God. We beheld His glory, John says, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God. Not created, but begotten, meaning that He receives His substance, that He receives His essence from the Father. Not in respect to His human nature, but in respect to His divine nature. And therefore, in this sense, He has no brethren. And yet our catechism says, we are also the children of God. Who, children? All of us? Oh, may it be. May that one day, may that be. But who are the children of God? That is not all. Not the visible church, that is the invisible church. That is the true church. And they are the sons of God, but they are the sons of God in a very different way than the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. They are not the sons of God by generation, but they are the sons of God by adoption. Thus, even you can understand that there is a difference, children. When you are the sons or the daughters of your parents, or if you are an adopted child, that is also and sometimes a very great blessing, that we may be adopted into a family. Thus, but we are the children of God, adopted of God, by grace, for Christ's sake. Thus, we read in that place where it was said unto them, ye are not my children, there shall it be said, you are the children of the living God. That is a wonder. And then a person receives all the rights and all the privileges of a child, of the children who can fathom that. Or to be called, congregation, the sons, the daughters, the children of God, because the neighbor is not a son, and the servant is not a son. Even the friend is not a son.
But what a special relation that there is between a father and a son. What an interest a father has in his son, who is his own flesh, that he cares for more than anyone in this world. What hopes, what expectations that a father has of his son, who is his own image. What a place that a father has for his son in his own home and in his own heart. What a communion that a father has with his son, that he speaks to him, and sometimes that he reveals to him the inmost secrets of his heart. What a compassion that a father has for his son, and when he has left the right way, and when he returns in a way of repentance, or to receive him as a prodigal with open arms once again. What a treasure that a father has for his son. All he has set aside for him, an inheritance. Everything he has, that is now for his children. Is there not so much that is contained in this blessed representation of sonship? The word son, the word father, that the Lord does show what he has laid away for his own children, that we may know it from our own relations, just a little part of that great blessedness, how that the Lord is receiving a man, a woman, a boy or girl in relation to himself again. What an incomprehensible wonder that a fallen, that a wretched, that a miserable creature may be called again the Son of God. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called, John says, the sons of God. Is there a greater privilege in this world? Are there greater riches in this world? Are there greater blessings in this world? Are there greater comforts in this world? Are there greater joys in this world? Oh, there is no one that is able to comprehend the height, the length, the breadth, the depth of what the Lord has in store for his children. But now, congregation, then we may ask ourselves, are we such a son? Should that not be the question of our life? Am I now also a son? Should that now not be the pursuit of our life? That we may be a son? Or what do we labor for in this world? To get more and more in this world, when there is an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, that is to be received completely freely by the children of the Father. Oh, is there not just one thing that we need? That is to become a son, to become a child of this Father. Let us never assume. No, let us never assume that we are a child, because that is an eternally fatal mistake. We can never come back from this mistake. No, we are not born the sons of God. Paul says, by nature, we're the children of wrath.
even as others. What did the Lord Jesus say to the Pharisees? He says, you are of your father the devil. We don't like to hear that. The Pharisees were religious people, and they had more religion, perhaps, than you and I. You are of your father, he said, the devil. But you say, are not God's people elect? Are they not elect from all eternity? Yes, they are. And yet they are born under his wrath. Are your children sometimes under your displeasure, parents? Oh, let it not be under our wrath. But are they sometimes, whom you love dearly, and they are under your displeasure? Yes, so it is with those who are lying under that seal of election. All they are loved by him from all eternity. But something still has to happen. They have to become children. When does that happen, children? You say, in regeneration. That is right. We need to be born again. We need to be cut off from the old stock, Adam, and we need to be engrafted into the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no rights to this. No rights. We have left willingly this God. In our father Adam, we have left him willingly. And what does our life show? When we are honest, what does our life show? Oh, we have some religion, yes. We have some form. We have some custom. We come and we go from the place of the holy, and we say our prayers and we read the Bible, but it's all out of self-love. And there is no desire. There is no hunger for that true and for that living God. God is just to forsake us. God is just to now leave us altogether to ourselves. But he has sent instead his only begotten Son into this world that he may receive sinners unto himself. That is now the foundation. That is what our fathers speak of here. As a foundation, what do they say? But we are children adopted of God by grace for his sake. There is the foundation, and it is a good foundation. It is a good foundation. It is on this foundation that God is able to receive sinners unto himself by grace for his sake. That is one will and one desire, both of the Father and of the Son. Therefore, he will do it. He will do it for his own name's sake. Oh, are we a son? Also of God? Have we a desire to be such a son, such a child that may receive everything out of the hand of his Father freely, without money, without price, for the time and for eternity? Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, then it is not our work, but it is thy work to make us such sons and daughters of thee. Wilt thou remember us, and wilt thou so receive us unto thyself, and that this may not be despised by us in this day, when we do go from this place,
that there may be a desire born in our heart, that we may receive that blessed place of thy children. Lord, look on us, forgiving all our sins. Remember us in the week to come. Wilt thou provide further for the farmers in the field? Wilt thou remember us also when we hope to meet tomorrow evening? And with our male members, wilt thou be in our midst? And wilt thou remember also the Calgary branch for whose sake we do meet? And may thou guide all things according to the counsel of thy most holy will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 125, 6 and 7. O King of royal race, thy sons of heavenly birth, thou wilt endow with kingly gifts as princes in the earth. 6 and 7 of Psalter 125. We announce yet that a male members meeting will be held tomorrow evening, Monday, May 9th at 7:30 p.m. To deal with the offer of the purchase for the Calgary Church building. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee.
the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.